Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
The people need you.
Let's be honest with ourselves here.
My life is good. Really good.
So when they come to you, let them know.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here with producer Greg. Your 8 o'clock hour.
Third and 10.
Sam.
Kaepernick can run. Kaepernick has a 49er touchdown.
You know, here's the thing, Greg.
I when like
you
the background music.
When you run the ball, you don't overthrow a receiver. I'm just saying. Let's watch the replay.
On third and 10, he takes it into the end zone.
There was nothing like him. I remember that was a phenom.
Kaepernick, remember, very athletic. He can run with the football, and there he goes. And he's got a first down. Look out. Midfield. Go, Colin. Inside the 30.
Uh-oh.
The 20. The 10. Touchdown, 49ers.
Anyway.
I like how you think outside the box, Brian, because most talk show hosts on conservative radio might assume that the way to turn off an audience to your program is to play highlights from Colin Kaepernick.
From
you
the loathsome.
Opposite. You do the opposite.
The loathsome 49ers and the guy that turned more people off from the NFL than any other single player, any other lightning rod player. Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, just in case a more suitable quarterback to a Pete Carroll offense is listening, that's not Geno Smith. Let me just say,
is Colt McCoy still in the league?
Did you catch this? Wait a minute. That's a really dark joke.
Why is that a dark joke?
Oh, Google it.
Oh, okay. I just know that he was a bad quarterback who was in the league forever, and I was thinking he might be available if the Hawks need to call on him.
Maybe who was the character that Eli Manning did? The character name that he used,
Chad Powers.
Chad, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But listen to this code word. Listen to the code word about Colin Kaepernick from the white play-by-play guy.
Kaepernick, remember, very athletic. He can run with the
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that right? I guess Russell Wilson was very athletic. Well, if that's a cliche, why isn't Geno Smith very athletic? Anyway. Yeah, that's how twisted we have become because of Geno Smith. Nothing personally, simply a nice enough guy, but I would say if you've been written off, you might want to open the certified letter. No, he, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I getting the wrong Colt?
Yeah, I didn't know what you were insinuating there. Colt McCoy was a quarterback for Texas, I believe.
Forever.
Forever.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm thinking of, yeah, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that.
Yeah, it's a different quarterback who's in the league forever okay. and ever and basically drank himself into suicide.
All of this is a long-winded way to say the Seahawks lost.
Any of those people would be better than what we saw yesterday. Well, anyway, that was the 17th game of the season. The Seahawks have made the. Oh, I'm sorry, it was game three. Seahawks now standing at 1-2. And let the record reflect. That I hopefully in Seattle radio, it's not my job to do hot sports takes. I'm just saying that's where I am. I don't know where you folks are. You want to keep working with that? You go ahead. That's where I am. Did anyone keep his number? So there's that. So real quickly, the couple stories, local stories, are making national news. And one of them on NBC, it'll be on NBC Evening News tonight. They're pimping it all day on Morning Joe and all this. And it's a story about the Washington State, when is it, the Washington Voters Research Project. Am I getting that? The WVRP, the Washington Voters Research Project. It was started by a conservative activist. Several hundred people around the state. Are knocking on people's door. And by the way, when you register to vote, that's a public record, okay? Your license plate is a public record. I mean, that's how that all works. You know where you don't need a license plate? If you're driving around on private property. If you take it out on a government-funded road, well, then you need a license plate. Your voter information, your voter registration is a public record. So anyway, what are they doing? Well, they're knocking on doors in Thurston County and other counties, and they're going down the voter lists, and they just want to see, you know, are you this person? Do you live here? Now, here's the thing. You can say, who the hell are you? Get off my porch, you know, whatever. But people are answering the questions. So they talked to the Thurston County Director of Elections in this clip, also Secretary of State Hobbs in this as well. And the one thing I don't hear from anyone is there a crime?
Particularly in states that, that John just talked about.
That's a different thing. That's a different reason to laugh.
And in Spokane, one resident filed a police report. Why is this different than traditional canvassing?
Well, it's different because you're questioning whether or not the person that lives there has a right to vote. And that's wrong. It's a bit of voter intimidation in my mind.
That's the Secretary of State. Is it illegal to walk up to someone's door and knock on the door? It's not. Now, there's an accusation that someone had some phony badge or something. The Washington Voters Research Project, the WVRP, says that story sounds like it's planted because all the details are seem coordinated. No one can find the guy who flashed a badge or whatever. But anyway, the implication here is that this organization is going around asking people. This is post 2020. Asking people, is that you? Did you vote in that the election and the whole thing? It's just that I'm not hearing where, you know, even the Secretary of State can't articulate a violation of law here.
Than traditional canvassing.
Well, it's different because you're questioning whether or not the person that lives there has a right to vote. And that's wrong. It's a bit of voter intimidation in my mind.
And it's wrong. Oh, that's like just your opinion, man. If I tell you to get off my property from that point forward, if you're not doing it, I can call you a trespasser. And I'm sure 911 will get just right on that. So anyway, nearly 2,000 questionable voters were submitted to Thurston County.
Washington Voter Research Project says these complaints have no basis in fact. When the group said it had found almost 2,000 suspicious voter records in Thurston County, Auditor Mary Hall's team investigated.
We went through every single record.
Were there any anomalies, irregularities, anything illegal happening?
Not a single one.
Out of 1,900?
Out of 1,941.
Concerns about similar groups have popped up.
Okay, no harm, no foul. But I'm waiting. I was waiting in the report from NBC to hear that charges are pending or whatever. Well, no crime is committed. You know, I'm a complete stranger. I get to walk up to your door and knock on the door. And at that point, you get to not answer the door, slam it on my face, tell me to leave, you know, whatever. But if you say, hello, how can I help you? And I say, I'm a random citizen. I'm concerned that someone stole your ID and voted for you in 2020. That I have not broken a law in doing that. If you answer or not answer, you can do whatever you want. I mean, when I hear about voter intimidation and all that, this is part of, and this is clearly what's going on, is small media like Seattle Times in questioning Tiffany Smiley using a very actual Starbucks storefront that's been closed down on Olive Way because it's unsafe for employees, or Patty Murray just ending her commercials with, democracy's on the ballot. And then I'm hearing that these Republicans are knocking on citizens' doors asking questions. The implication here is that, oh, look at that. The Republicans want to turn us into Italy, where they're all fascists or something as of today, because a right-wing candidate is going to be the first female premier, or pardon me, prime minister. So anyway, just very odd to me how this is all coming down. And by the way, it's coming down with coming up on 34 days, 35 days, I think, until the primary election. It all just seems very coordinated to me. Maybe that you go where the news is. You know, I'll accept that. That's fine. But there's a lot of talking points are being shared. And what's interesting is that they're suppressing some poll results that people who identify as registered Republicans are responding that they're going to vote at a far higher rate than Democrats. But when I say far higher, I mean 47 to 42%, which 47 is higher than 42%. And outside the margin of error. And so what is that like? Well, here's the Reverend Al Sharpton, who's, you know, say what you will about the guy, but he knows numbers. He knows donations. He knows how money drives campaigns. He knows all this stuff. And here's his analogy about what's happening with Democratic voters right now.
Particularly in states that John just talked about, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and other states. It's, you know, it's one thing, you know, when I was younger, if you call somebody in high school for a date and you had to convince them to come and date you. It's another thing when all you do is go to voicemail. Right now, we're getting voicemail in too many places. We're not getting people picking up the phone ready to date us on election day.
Think about what you'd think about at the time.
At the time. I don't get it either. But I'm sure there's a point in there somewhere. And his point is that, the Democrats aren't ready to get excited about this. Because I'll tell you what, focusing on the state of Washington and accusing the Republicans of interfering with democracy and the whole sending a reporter out here. And then putting it on your channel all day long today from I heard this at 3:50 this morning. It's going to be on there all day long. And it just seems to dovetail with what some say is a vulnerable Senate seat. And the other deal there is, OK, we have that one Trafalgar poll that seems to be an outlier. Showing Tiffany Smiley, did it show that she was beating Patty Murray or just behind her or something?
Good question. I can know that.
That comes down to who is out on November 2nd. And they really truly feel that there's so many Democrats in the state of Washington or so many people that vote Democrat that they assume that the Harlem Globetrotters are playing the Washington Generals, the team that's always set up to lose to them. And that they don't need their vote. And I mean, you can't make it easier than, look, we mail it to your mailbox. You just put it back in there, or better yet, give it to someone who can turn it in for you or whatever. I really think that behind the scenes, they're scared of this Senate seat. And this is not supposed to be one that's even marginally competitive. I think it's a lot more competitive than they're saying nationally. They even admitted this morning that while Dr. Oz may have run a bit of a garbage fire of a campaign, the voters in Pennsylvania, it's inescapable that they're being asked to vote for a guy that probably should use 2023, 2024, and 2025 to recover from a major stroke. So there's that. In some polls, Herschel Walker is now leading the Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock. And so they're really, really scared about this. And anyway, I'm just saying it seemed really out of place that they had to. I felt it was a bit of a reach for NBC to do what they're going to do. They're going to run this all day long. And we have an asteroid to destroy, by the way, at 4:14 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I sent out a link to that. Oh, and by the way, New York Times today with another local race, and this is the second district race, the Republican Joe Kent, former Special Forces guy, versus what's her name? Glusenkamp Perez. And it's a column, the midterm race, it has it all, because they're pointing to this saying, oh, look at this. He's a MAGA guy. Trump endorsed him. He's got awesome hair. He's got a unassailable service record, the whole thing. His personal story about his wife being killed by ISIS and all that is astounding. Pardon me, third congressional district. And which has been, reliably, 5-6 points reliably Republican. And along comes Marie Glusenkamp Perez, And so anyway, it's a long story. It's interesting. But I think down in the 3rd District, their exposure to Portland, even though it's a rural district, a lot of people in that district commute into Portland to make their living or at the minimum do their shopping and tax free. And that offsets the state income tax they have to pay and the whole thing. So they're seeing the failed policies play out right in front of them. Just you don't even have to go to downtown Portland. Just driving I-5 through Portland, just like through Seattle, you see the blue tarps and the free tents that are handed out and the whole thing. I honestly think that this is they're terrified because in many, many cases, the Democrats rely on a baked into the cake recipe to get people to vote for him. So
Kevin McCarthy, Brian, on Friday revealed
I was underwhelmed by this.
Yeah, I was going to ask your take on this. He revealed the commitment to America, which harkens back to Newt Gingrich's contract with America. Both three words, both start with the letter C. So he's clearly trying to evoke memories of the past with the huge Republican landslide in, what was it, 1992 or something?
No, it was 96.
96, that's
it
right.
It was after 4 years.
That's right.
Of Clinton, the Republicans took the Congress for the first time in 50-something years. It was just crazy.
And because of the nature of the business we're in, I've sort of been obsessed lately with the dueling narratives out of the two parties as we approach the midterms. See if you agree with this. To me, it seems to be that Republicans are highlighting inflation bad, border bad. And Democrats are saying Republicans want to ban abortion and Republicans undermine election results. Are those the two main things in the arsenals of the parties?
That seems to be it. People are donating money based on the abortion thing. But the problem is what the Supreme Court did was they put it back on the states. This is not a national issue. And that's why the Republican Party told Lindsey Graham, WTF are you doing with the, well, he needs to get reelected too. And it's like, now there's another news cycle where the Democrats make money because you want to impose some sort of national abortion ban. Cause that story was drying on the vine for mm-hmm. them. But here, you know, like I say, a month before, whatever, 36 days before the primary, the general election, they're terrified and they're calling in all their markers with the, you know, the reliable cable TV, CNN and the entire NBC panoply. And they're trying to portray this. And I think I got to say, this appeal is so nebulous. Democracy's on the ballot. And I told the story at 6 a.m. I had some canvassers who wanted to put a sign up in my yard. They knocked and they said, hi, how are you? And I said, oh, I'm cleaning, as you see. And all this, the dogs are going crazy. And they said, we're really, really concerned. Are you aware that democracy is on the ballot next month? And they're a pair of youngster, probably college volunteers, probably from Evergreen or, you know, whatever. And they looked at me and said, you know, are you aware that democracy's on the ballot? And I said back, how so? And crickets. And one of them blinked and said, well, because Republicans are trying to take away the democracy ever since January 6th. And I said, well, how specifically? Because I'm going to vote on November 2nd. So I don't see where the threat to democracy is on this deal. And they got right to the, well, we were wondering if we can put a sign in your front yard. And it was for a race outside my district. It'll be my district in January of 2023.
That shouldn't stop you from voting in it this time.
Oh, my God. I know. It cracked me up. The fact they didn't know that they had a bad map. But so anyway, I just like I said, you say I'm not going to surrender that narrative when you say democracy's on the ballot. I get to say back, how so? But explain, discuss, something like that. All right. We'll come back. The latest out of Ukraine, And will NASA succeed in saving the Earth by hitting that asteroid later on today? AM 770 KTTH. And a checking of your texting when we come back, by the way, 800-465-8770-KTTH. KTH, Brian Suits here with producer Greg. This is a very, very serious and a sad subject, you know, that I've talked about this for months now, that when it comes to the Chinese poison that is being sold as street drugs up and down the West Coast, it's going to take, never mind the people on East Lake Avenue East or below I-5 that, you know, are ODing left and right now. But it's going to take, you know, some all-American kid on Mercer Island or Bellevue or whatever for people to get what's going on. It's already in Los Angeles and L.A. Unified. In the past month, they've had 7 students ODing on fentanyl-laced drugs. One of them, less than a week ago, a 15-year-old girl thought she and her friends had bought Percocet from another student. She's dead. The others are barely hanging on. And so one of the things that this has led to, and it's taken Los Angeles, 7, you know, several dead, but 7 total. And it is pre-positioning Narcan in the schools. And I'm here to tell you, if my daughter's high school announced that they had that up in the office or in the nurse's room or, you know, whatever, I would not be heartbroken. And so I'll have to check policies. But this is
over the past few weeks.
District Supervisor Carvalho talking about this.
Our system has been deeply impacted by the injury to some students and the death of at least one student as a result of an unacceptable level of availability of narcotics, of opioids in our community. Effective the second week of October, every one of our schools at LA Unified will be outfitted with the appropriate tools, including Narcan, available for students who may experience a condition of overdose through the consumption, the ingestion, a fentanyl in any type of format.
And here's the deal. This is why it should scare the hell out of you about this kid's, you know, mixed Percocet with alcohol, and they party and the whole thing. But they think they're getting Percocet because they have pill presses that mimic Percocet. And they're not trying to kill their customers, but they're trying to get them addicted. And this stuff is poison. It's Chinese poison mixed in Vancouver or delivered to Mexico, to Juarez. And now it's all over the West Coast. And so the scenario is you have some all-American quarterback kid. He just had his third or fourth game of the season on Friday night. He's beat up. It's Monday. He doesn't want to sit out, you know, Monday or Tuesday, and just wants to kill the pain before he works out with his buddies or whatever. And then someone at the school, you know, every high school has those chaps. You go to those chaps and say, yeah, I need codeine 3, Tylenol 3, you know, Percocet, you know, whatever. They sell this. They just got it from their guy on Friday or Saturday. They don't know that 9 people overdosed over the weekend. Anyway, that guy thinking he's taking a Percocet dies. And so at that point, if your kid attends that high school, would you be happy or sad that they could have administered Narcan and there's almost an instant rebound because of the way it works? By the way, it has no effect on someone who's not on an opioid or overdosing on an opioid. I'm actually going to look into, because with at most schools, you know, if your kid has a prescription drug, you have to take it and register it and bring the note from the doc, you know, and the whole thing to keep it there for them to take it to the school, and then they have to go to the health office or whatever. I got to say, I'm not worried about my kid, but I'm worried about other kids. And I'm just wondering, since it's not a drug, but of course every school would consider it a drug, but what if your kid just took it and had it in their backpack?
As a kid who grew up with the DARE program and believed that it worked, I'm dismayed about this story for a number of reasons. First, that so many more kids seem to be using drugs these days, which is just terrible. Second, because it seems that administrators' new tactic with this phenomenon is to kind of seed the battleground and say, well, kids are going to be using drugs anyway, so let's make sure that if a kid overdoses, we can save them, rather than going on a full assault and saying, no, we need to bring back the major stigma around drug and alcohol use in the first place. It's almost like leaders are going, nah, kids are going to kid and they're going to use this stuff, so let's make sure. It's almost akin to like a safe injection site. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
rather
and
than
that's,
being like,
that's
no, no,
where-
no, drugs are pure poison. I don't care if it's fentanyl or not. Drugs are awful, and we need every kid to realize the immense harm that can come to them if they put anything in their body, any pill, any kind of
alcohol.
Yeah,
but that's the 100-meter target. You know, this is the 1-meter target right now. This is just so simple right now. Because like I say, my F's run out when you're a career addict and you're up on your fourth Narcan run to Harborview. Because someone said
over the past few weeks,
they didn't say that. They probably said the other thing, and I'm looking for it now. Because somebody said,
anybody got a Narcan?
And they called Seattle paramedics, who have to give you the Narcan. Then once you get the Narcan, they have to take you to the Harborview ER. This average is about $8,000 a visit. I gotta say, the heartless libertarian who I reject would say, make him pay for the Narcan, don't make it available, or else you're just enabling their drug use and all that. That's a different discussion. But when it comes to kids in high school who don't intend to take an opioid, who are not trying to, you know, score some awesome heroin, but oops, it's fentanyl, I'm poisoned. You know, like I say, this 15-year-old girl in Hollywood at Bernstein High School a week and a half ago, she thought she was taking a Percocet. You know, the guy sold it to them as Percocet, and he was a student at the high school. And so that's how they distribute it on the West Coast. But it's happening in Northern California, happening in Oregon. And so I'm just saying, if you're the school district that likes to lean forward in the saddle, you might have that discussion with your lawyers today and with some doctors today, and you might have it on station. What, like if you're allergic to bees, you're allowed to bring epinephrine or whatever that is, those injectors, but you got to keep it up at the office or whatever. It's you know, in all honesty, it's an identical, it's not a prophylactic, it's you know, a prophylaxis. You don't pre-take the Narcan, but you know, I just have a really, really bad feeling that we're going to be hearing about some horrific tragedy of where a kid with an amazing future ahead of him somehow made a mistake and did this, because it's like, you know, getting in a car that you don't know is going to explode at mile 2092, you know, or something like that. Not a perfect analogy, not quite the Reverend
Al. Particularly in states that, and you had to convince them to come and date you. It's another thing.
See, then the answering machine picks it up. All right, time for the checking of your texting after my Debbie Downer. I have a good one here. Dear Brian and Greg, isn't it time that the Seahawks sign Colin Kaepernick? This is from Love from Mount Vernon. Wishing you a happy day. Oh, it doesn't say that. Wishing you a happy day, Brian and Greg. Thank you for always getting our morning after a great start. Lots of love from Mount Vernon. The tulips are so dead. They're as dead as Geno Smith's passing accuracy.
Poor tulips. Texter Dave apparently believes that brevity is the soul of wit and just writes in, good show. Thank
what
you,
part?
Dave. From the 360, great to hear from hockey this morning. There was a large bird dead on the side of the road this morning, and I was worried about him. Maybe
no.
It was those windmills, 360 texter. Brian, you sent me a picture yesterday of like a raven on your shoulder.
Did you see the Vimeo link?
I don't think the Vimeo link came through. It's just a mysterious image you, that you
called
me.
You called me on that. I told you that when we rescued Margot the Raven, we nursed her back to health, and at month six, we kicked her out the door, and she kept coming back and tapping on the door. And so we would let her in. She hung out. She'd fly back to her family, and I got to a point where she would be on the roof of the house, and I could call her. She would fly down to me so that she could have her beak scratched.
I mean, that's a real thing.
It's on Vimeo. It's on Vimeo. Check the link. I will. Yeah. She came to her name. I will. I'll tweet it out. I think I put it up. Most everyone's seen it.
Edgar Allan Poe over here from the 714. Greg, Brian isn't going to flee the collapse of civilization. He's going to go full Mad Max, Lord Humongous, ruler of the wasteland, with
absolutely
his supply of eggs and ammo, and he'll be just fine.
Yeah, I'll tweet out a link to this. But anyway, I call her off the roof. She flies down, does a couple loops, lands right in front of me, and hops up with that raven hop. And so I'm not going to play a video on the radio, but
okay, good.
Anyway, so everyone can see it's not me. Greg is crazy.
From the 71, I'm sorry, from Jason. I'm pretty sure, guys, it was 1994, the contract with America, 2 years after Clinton's pursuit of socialized
medicine.
Yeah, that's
right. It was the midterms.
Thanks, fact checker Jason.
Yeah, it was the midterms, because remember Welfare to Work? That was a entirely Republican authored thing. It was to give people a lifetime limit on welfare and bring them back to the workforce so they could be taxpayers. Clinton will crow about that to this day. He'll crow about, it was one of the most groundbreaking, innovative things of all time. He had to be drugged, kicking and screaming after two vetoes to sign the thing. They overrode him. He had to sign that only because the Republicans took the House. This is from 360. COVID-19 was actually a drill for the coming asteroid, and today it's the real deal. Godspeed, gentlemen. Adam at Bremerton. I happen to believe you, Adam. I happen to believe you. This is no test. This is no test today. Get your orders. You know, get your affairs in order. Not that it'll matter, but... all right, back in a second. We'll save the best for last, and that's only minutes away. AM 770 KTDA. How about that Luis Castillo? Brian sits here saving the best for last, and thought I'd bring you all down before the happy news of NASA saving us by blowing up the asteroid or whatever later on today. Yeah, if you missed it, if you were busy getting disappointed by the Seahawks and you missed it, the Mariners blew a 9-run lead because, and I maintain this, they looked at the standings and they said, we're in third place for the 4 wild cards.
We got to do something about this.
Yeah, Baltimore is 4 games behind us. We only have a couple days to lose, or else we're going to have to work in October.
They're going to pull it together. You just watch. I'm going to go to a game next week.
Luis Castillo said, hold my cerveza. And the Kansas City with an 11-run 6-inning. It's crazy. It actually makes the Seahawks look better than that. Okay, so what's the situation? Who dares boo Nancy Pelosi?
So this clip comes
November
from...
November 8th is election day today, by the way. It's second. It's November 8th.
Another important clarification. The Global Citizen Festival 2022 took place in Central Park over the weekend. It's the first time I've ever heard of it, but apparently it's
been going
on.
Sounds like hippie crap.
Whenever I hear Global Citizen, my spidey senses start tingling, and I'm like, what?
It's like equity.
Sure. And the lineup was kind of underwhelming. There are speakers, and there are bands that play. Metallica was one of the headliners. Nancy Pelosi, surprise appearance, and showed up to talk about what else? Climate change. But sort of a tepid reception. There were actually a few jeers amongst the crowd of thousands.
We know that climate change is a global crisis. But we can start addressing it by responding it at home.
As Speaker of the House, I am here to thank you for your dazzling advocacy, entrepreneurial thinking, and determination as global citizens. It's thanks to your help that the United States recently enacted historic climate legislation.
Cashing advocacy as her upper plate.
More jeers than I would have expected in New York.
Well, these are the true believers drinking from the fire hose. And here's the thing. These if you polled that crowd and said, should Joe Manchin be lynched after killing the Build Back Better? 97% of them will go, yeah, yes, yeah, lynch him. Instead, and it's crazy, these are people who just can't play chess. And they want right now, they want all oil refineries shut down around the world, and everyone should be like living in teepees with wind turbines and solar panels and, you know, the whole thing. Right now. And then you say, what about nuclear? And then they lynch you. You say, what about building more hydroelectric dams? They say, they say lynch him. Here's what's going to happen this week. This is huge, by the way. And this is where Joe Manchin is the only adult in Washington, D.C. these days. He is from a coal state. And the Senate is putting forward a bill to lessen the time for permitting. Like, you know, we should be constructing nuclear power plants, but we all know what happens. That you get lawyered up. It takes 15, 20 years even to you know, first shovel and the whole thing. In the meantime, there's what Manchin's point is, look, what we can do right now is get cleaner. You know, while the Chinese are busy whipping the Uyghur workers into making more wind turbines and solar panels at American taxpayer expense, we can, in the meantime, at least get cleaner by reconfiguring every coal-fired power plant. There's still plenty of them to be natural gas, and if they can't be natural gas, to burn nothing but the far, far cleaner American anthracite hard coal. That, what luck. All the miners who didn't learn to code still dig that stuff in West Virginia. So, I mean, it's a pragmatic, immediate, and by immediate, I mean like 3-4 years. You know, you can sit around in the dark waiting for a wind turbine to power your microwave. You're going to be waiting a long time. But what Joe Manchin is going to propose, he's already got 60 votes on it, every Republican. And then enough Democrats to pass it, but it's basically do permitting better. The DPB, and you watch that crowd at the Global Citizen Festival. They're going to denounce Joe Manchin. They're going to call their various AOCs and Pelosi's, and absolutely, and they're going to portray it, you know, as if we're days away from the tipping point and the whole thing. And it is funny how just last week was that story about the volcano in Tonga earlier this year, the one underwater, put more steam into the atmosphere. And so that's going to reflect more heat because, as it turns out, water vapor far, far, far outweighs CO2, man-made or natural. In regulating temperature. And then, meanwhile, the land-based volcano, Pinatubo, from the 90s, it lowered global temperatures for almost 2 years. But Ron DeSantis didn't cause Mount Pinatubo or the Mango Mussolini. The Trump didn't do that volcano. They portray this as if it really is a red hot fire. And I went on this other thing that I do. I went down the rabbit hole for people who are unaware of where the green movement came from. Part of it was a self-inflicted wound by Margaret Thatcher as she was dealing with coal miners. But another part of it was an entirely intentional thing. And it's sorry if you think I sound crazy here, but the KGB's overseas service, the SVR, and the Russian military intelligence, GRU, they saw an opportunity to increase their input in dollars by making Western Europe more reliant on Russian natural gas. And they did it. They said, all we got to do is take these krauts, these hippie krauts and the women with their unshaven legs, and give them free stuff, organize a handful of them, and then let them loose, and they're going to flip governments. And so the result is you know, 30 years later, Holland used to be one of the world's largest exporters of natural gas. Fat chance now. They got Green Partied out of that. So, all right, anything for the goodly order?
That's an applause line.
Trooper Atkinson up at Harbor View, according to his dad, talking to Cairo TV, is doing much, much better over the weekend. He's in stable condition now, and his father says he'll probably return to duty. So really good news there. So Producer Greg, any last words? Let's see. We never got to the Iran protests.
Yeah, we'll get to covered that tomorrow. It briefly this morning. Might go more in depth.
Yeah, if you're watching American news and you're thinking, oh, Putin's destabilized in Iran, there's going to be a revolution. Okay. Yeah, fat chance. Good luck with that. Good luck with that Putin poo. Or Putin coup. Or that Putin poo. Good luck with that Iran coup, folks. It's not going to happen. Sorry. It's just not. You don't understand power, do you? You don't understand how bullets work. All right. Be back here tomorrow, Tuesday at 6 a.m. Thank you very much. Dan Bongino is up next, AM 770 KTTH.